Life is either a daring adventure or nothing. Helen Keller. I am not discouraged because every wrong attempt discarded is another step forward. Thomas Edison. Deep within man dwell those slumbering powers, powers that would astonish him, that he never dreamed of possessing, forces that would revolutionize his life if aroused and put into action. Orison Swett Marden.
Hi, this is Anthony Robbins. I want to take a moment before we get started just to thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to share with you the strategies and techniques that have positively shaped my life. I really respect you as the kind of person who really wants to change the quality of your life and you're committed to do something about it. I really believe that we all have dreams. We all want to believe deep down in our souls that we have a special gift, that we can make a difference, that we can somehow touch other people in a special way, and that we can make the world a better place. I think at one time in our lives, we all had a vision for the quality of life that we desire and that we deserve. Yet for most people, those dreams have become so shrouded in the frustrations and the routines of daily life that they no longer even make an effort to accomplish them. For far too many, the dream has dissipated, and with it, so has the will to shape our destinies. Many of us have lost the sense of certainty that creates the winner's edge. My life's quest, I have to tell you, has been really to restore that dream and to make it real and to get the unlimited power. This tape will begin to introduce you to those principles. And I can promise you, if you listen to it and you'll apply it, together we can start making measurable progress.
Welcome to Awaken the Giant Within with Anthony Robbins. You're about to learn techniques that can help you create, live, and enjoy the life you've always dreamed of. In this program, you're going to learn a series of simple and specific strategies for addressing the cause of any challenge in your life and changing it with the least amount of effort. You're going to learn how to destroy the blocks and break down the walls that have been holding you back. You're going to learn the incredible power of decisions, belief systems, and associations, and how you can begin to use these powers to get what you really want, starting right now. Most of all, you'll learn what Anthony Robbins has taught thousands of people who've used these techniques to awaken the giant within, that you have the power to understand how your mind, your body, and your emotions work, and because of this, you can control your own destiny. Know who you are, know what you want, and know how to get it, starting now.
I know I'll never forget the day that it really hit me that I was truly living my dream. I was flying my jet helicopter from a business meeting in Los Angeles, traveling to Orange County on the way to one of my seminars. And as I flew over the city of Glendale, California, I suddenly recognized a large building. And I stopped the helicopter and hovered above it. It's kind of a fun thing to do in a helicopter you can't do in a plane. And as I looked down, I realized this is the building that I'd worked in as a janitor a mere 12 years ago. In those days, I've been concerned about whether my 1960 Volkswagen would hang together for the 30-minute trip to work. My life had been focused on how am I going to survive. I'd felt alone, and I felt fearful. But that day, as I hovered there in the sky, I thought, what a difference a decade can make. I did have a dream back then, but at the time, it seemed like it would never be realized. Today, though, I've really come to believe that all my past failures, all my frustrations were actually just laying the foundation for the understandings that have created the new level of living I now enjoy. As I continued my flight south along the coastal route, I spotted dolphins playing with the surfers and the waves below. It's a special sight that my wife Becky and I treasure as one of life's special gifts. Finally, we reached Irvine, California, and as I began to look below, I was a little disturbed when I saw that the off-ramp to my seminar was jammed with bumper-to-bumper traffic for more than a mile. I thought to myself, boy, I hope, you know, whatever else is going on tonight gets started soon so that the people coming to my seminar can arrive on time. But as I started to descend down to the helipad, I began to see a brand new picture. Thousands of people being held back by security just where I was about to land. Suddenly, I began to grasp the reality. The traffic jam had been caused by people coming to my event. Although we'd expected only 2,000 people, I was facing a crowd over 7,000 in an auditorium that would only hold 5,000. When I walked into the arena from the landing pad, I was surrounded by hundreds of people who wanted to give me a hug or tell me how my work had positively impacted their lives. The stories they shared with me were absolutely incredible. And I was so touched by the emotions in the room that I got choked up. And after I was introduced, at first I couldn't even speak. And as I looked out on the audience, I saw 5,000 smiling, cheering, loving faces. And in that moment, I realized I am living my dream. What a feeling to know that beyond a shadow of a doubt, I have information and strategies and philosophies and skills that could truly assist any one of these people in empowering themselves to make the changes they desire most. You know, a flood of images and emotions started to flow over me. I began to remember an experience I had only a few years before, sitting there in my 400-square-foot bachelor apartment in Venice, California, all alone and crying. I remember listening to the lyrics of a Neil Diamond song. I am, I said, to no one there, and no one heard it all, not even the chair. I am, I cried, I am, said I, and I am lost, and I can't even say why, leaving me lonely still. I remember feeling like my life didn't even matter, as if the events of the world were controlling me. I also remember the moment my life changed, the moment I finally said, I've had it. I know I'm much more than I'm demonstrating, mentally, emotionally, physically. I'm more than what my life is showing right now. I made a decision in that moment which was to alter my life forever. I decided to change virtually every aspect of my life. I decided I would never again settle for less than I could be. Who would have guessed that this decision would bring me to such an incredible moment now? I mean, how could a young kid like me with nothing but a high school education have created such dramatic changes? My answer is simple. I learned to harness the principle I now call concentration of power. Most people have no idea of the giant capacity we can instantly command when we focus all of our resources on mastering a single area of our lives. Controlled focus is like a laser beam that we can use to break through anything that seems to be stopping us. I'm going to make a couple of assertions that you may find a bit bizarre, maybe even unbelievable. And the first one is, I believe I know who you really are. I believe you and I must be kindred souls. Your desire to expand has brought you to this program, and that tells me that you're someone who wants more. No matter where you are in your life right now, I know you want more. No matter how well you're doing or how challenged you may be, deep inside of you, there's a belief that your experience of life can and will be much greater than it already is. You're destined for your own unique form of greatness. Whether it's as an outstanding professional, a teacher, a business person, a mother, or a father. Most importantly, you not only believe this, but you've taken action. You've picked up this tape, and now you're listening to it. I want to challenge you now to take the next step, the all-important step of actually using it. And now here's my second assertion. If you're willing to accept the challenge and really use the specific technologies you're learning here, you will achieve your dreams. This program, by the way, concludes with a specific plan that'll help you to create your own magnificent obsession, your own vision of what it would take for you to have a fulfilling future, a future in which you make a significant contribution to the world and vastly increase the quality of your life in the process, a future where you provide a rich environment for yourself and your family and literally make your dreams real. These are not exaggerated claims. They're achievable goals. I can tell you my own magnificent obsession began with some simple questions. How can I take immediate control of my life? What can I do today that can really make a difference, that can help me and others to shape our destinies? How can I expand, learn, and grow, and share that knowledge with others in a meaningful and an enjoyable way? You see, I truly believe that we all have a sleeping giant within us. Each of us has a talent, a gift, our own bit of genius just waiting to be tapped. And I decided many years ago the most important way I could spend my life would be to invest it in something that would outlast it. I decided that somehow I must contribute in some way that would live on long after I was gone. Today, I have the incredible privilege of sharing my ideas and feelings with literally millions of people through my books and my tapes and television shows. And I've personally now worked with over 250,000 people in the last few years alone. I've assisted members of Congress, CEOs, presidents of companies and countries, managers and mothers, salespeople, accountants, lawyers, doctors, psychiatrists, counselors, professional athletes. I've worked with phobics, the clinically depressed, people with multiple personalities, and those who thought they had no personality. But now I have the unique good fortune of sharing the best of what I've learned with you. And for that opportunity, I'm truly excited and grateful. And you know something? Through all the challenges that I've been through personally and all the people that I've met, I've continued to recognize the power that individuals have to change virtually anything and everything in their lives in an instant. I've learned the resources we need to turn our dreams into reality are within us, merely waiting for the day when we decide to wake up and claim our birthright. Let these words you're hearing now be a wake-up call. Let this be your challenge to tap your God-given power to live life to the fullest. And I want you to know that I enter into this relationship with you with great respect. I may not be meeting you face to face right now, but my words are reaching you, and I'm deeply appreciative of the opportunity to join you in this journey of discovery and really participate with you in the actualization of your deepest and truest potential. Life is a gift, and it offers each of us the privilege, the opportunity, and the responsibility to give something back by becoming more. Let's begin our journey right now by exploring decisions, the pathway to power.
Man is born to live and not to prepare to live. Boris Pasternak. Man is not the creature of circumstances. Circumstances are the creatures of men. Benjamin Disraeli. It is in your moments of decision that your destiny is shaped. Anthony Robbins.
In my first book, Unlimited Power, I made it abundantly clear that the most powerful way to shape our lives is to get ourselves to take action. The difference in the results that people produce comes down to what they've done differently from others in the same situation. Different actions produce different results. Why? Because any action is a cause set in motion, and its effect builds on past effects to move us in a definitive direction. And of course, every direction leads to an ultimate destination, or what we call our destiny. So if we want to really direct our lives, we must first take control of our consistent actions. It's not what we do once in a while that shapes our lives, but what we do consistently. So here's the key, the most important question. What precedes all our actions? What determines what actions we take, and therefore who we become, and what our ultimate destination is in life? What is the father of all action? The answer to all these questions is one word, decisions. Everything that happens in your life, both what you're thrilled with and what you're challenged by, began with a decision. I truly believe that it's in your moments of decision that your destiny is shaped. The decisions that you're making right now, as you listen to me, the ones you're making every day, will shape how you feel not only today, but how you're going to feel in the weeks, the months, and the years to come. See, it's true that you and I both know that there are people who are born with advantages. I don't deny that. People have had genetic advantages, environmental advantages, family advantages, or relationship advantages. Yet you and I also know that we constantly meet, read, and hear about people who, against all odds, have exploded beyond the limitations of their conditions by making new decisions about what to do with their lives. They've become living examples of the unlimited power of the human spirit. You see, if we decide to, you and I can make our lives one of those inspiring examples. How? Simply by making decisions today about how we're going to live in the years to come. The fact is, if you don't make decisions about how you're going to live, then you've already made a decision, haven't you? You've made a decision to be directed by the environment instead of shaping your own destiny. My whole life changed in one day, the day that I determined not just what I'd like to have in my life or what I wanted to become, but when I decided who and what I was committed to having and being in my life. That's a simple distinction, but it's a critical one. See, I decided I was committed to certain courses of action. When I made that commitment to those decisions, they became real and powerful. If I'd merely decided that I'd like to make a difference in the world or I'd like to create a better life for myself, then I'd simply been stating a preference. That's like saying I'm interested in making more money as long as I don't have to do anything. That's not power. That's a weak prayer, and it's made without even the faith to launch it. For your decisions to really make a difference in your life, it's absolutely imperative to decide what results you're committed to. And it's equally critical to decide what kind of person you're committed to becoming. So you have to set standards for what you consider to be acceptable behavior for yourself. And you got to decide what should you expect from those you care about. If you don't set a baseline standard for what you'll accept in your life, then you'll find it's all too easy to slip into behaviors and attitudes or even a quality of life that's far below what you deserve. You need to set and live by these standards no matter what happens. Even if everything goes wrong, even if it rains on your parade, even if the stock market crashes, even if your present lover leaves you, even if no one gives you the support you need, you still must stay committed to your decision, the decision that you'll live your life at the highest level. Does this raise some doubts in your mind? Do you wonder, how am I going to be able to define these standards for myself? If so, stay with me. Together we'll define and create the future you really want. We're going to make this commitment something that's real, that's compelling, and that'll lead you to the fulfillment of your dreams. But you know what? Most people don't make these kinds of committed decisions. Instead of commitments, they make excuses. And you and I don't want to fall into this trap. They say the reason they haven't achieved their goals is because of the way their parents treated them. They're from a dysfunctional family. Tell me a functional family. I'll tell you what, I hear this all the time. Or they had a lack of opportunities, or a lack of education, or because they were too young or too old. But remember something, these are all conditions. And once again, it's not the conditions of your life that will determine your destiny, it's your decisions. Using the power of decision gives you the capacity to get past any excuses and to finally change any and every part of your life in an instant. It can change your relationships, your working environment, your level of physical fitness, your income, your emotional states. And the most exciting thing about this amazing force, this power of decision, is that you already possess it. This is a power that you don't have to go out and pursue. This is a power that's not something that's reserved for a select few people with the right credentials or money or family background. It's available to anyone and to everyone. In this very next moment, you could use this mighty force that lies waiting within you. You simply have to get up the courage to claim it. Consider one fiercely proud individual, a young woman named Rosa Parks, who one day back in 1955 stepped onto a bus in Montgomery, Alabama, and she refused to give up her seat to a white person as she was legally required to do. Her one quiet act of civil disobedience sparked a firestorm of controversy and became a symbol for generations to follow. Rosa Parks had made a committed decision. She held herself to a higher standard, and you and I can do the same. Will today be the day you finally decide that who you are as a person is much more than what you've been demonstrating? Will today be the day you decide once and for all to make your life consistent with the quality of your spirit by proclaiming, this is who I am, this is what my life is about, and this is what I'm going to do. Nothing will stop me from achieving my destiny. I will not be denied.
Concerning all acts of initiative and creation, there is one elementary truth, that the moment one definitely commits oneself, then providence moves too. Johann Wolfgang von Goethe. We will either find a way or make one. Hannibal.
If making decisions is so simple and powerful, then why don't just most people take Nike's advice and just do it? I think one reason is because most of us don't really recognize what it even means to make a real decision. We don't realize the force of change that a congruent and committed decision creates. Part of the problem is that for so long, most of us have used the term decision so loosely that it's come to describe something like a wish list. Instead of making decisions, we keep stating preferences. I'd like to quit smoking. I think I'd like to lose some weight. While making a true decision means cutting off any other possibility. In fact, the word decision comes from the Latin root de, which means from, and caedere, which means to cut. Making a true decision means committing to achieving a result and cutting yourself off from any other possibility. When you truly decide that you'll never smoke cigarettes again, that's it. It's over. You no longer even consider the possibility of smoking. After making a true decision, even a tough one, most of us feel a tremendous amount of relief. We've finally gotten off the fence, and we all know how great it feels to have a clear, unquestioned objective. See, this kind of clarity gives you power. With clarity, you can produce the results that you really want for your life. The challenge for most of us is that we haven't made a decision in so long, we've forgotten what it feels like. We've got flabby decision-making muscles. So how do you strengthen those muscles? Give them a workout. The way to make better decisions is to make more of them. So use those muscles, then make sure you learn from each decision you make, including the ones that don't seem to work out in the short term. Recall again what Edison said, "I am not discouraged because every wrong attempt discarded is another step forward." Realize that decision making, like any skill you focus on improving, gets better the more often you do it. And there are three decisions in particular that you've got to pay attention to because they shape every moment of your life. They truly control your destiny. Most of us make these decisions by default. That is, we leave them up to circumstances. But you can take control of these three decisions starting this moment. And by doing so, you literally begin to sculpt your experience and shape it the way you desire it. The three decisions that control our destiny are, number one, your decisions about what to focus on in each moment that you're alive. Each moment you're making a decision about what to pay attention to. That decision about focus is shaping how you think, how you feel, and what you do. Second question is, what things mean to you? No matter what's happening around you, you have to determine, what does this mean? Is this good or bad? Does this affect my future, my present, my past? And of course, the most important question, number three, what should I do now? This decision about what to do with any situation that you come across is clearly going to shape your actions and therefore your ultimate destiny. You see, it's not what's happening to you right now or what's happened to you in your past that determines who you become. Rather, it's your decisions about what to focus on, what things mean to you, and what you're going to do about them that'll determine your ultimate destiny. Know that if anyone is enjoying greater success than you are in any area, it's because they're making these three decisions differently from you in some way. And when we don't make these decisions consciously, when we don't take control of them ourselves, we pay a major price. In fact, most people live by what I call the Niagara Syndrome. I mean, think of life as a river. Many people just jump in the river of life without ever really deciding where they want to end up. So they quickly get caught up in the current. Current events, current fears, current challenges. And when they come to those forks in the river, they don't consciously decide where they want to go. They just, quote, go with the flow of the river. And they become part of the mass of people who are directed by the environment instead of by their own values. As a result, they feel out of control. Why? Because their decisions about what to focus on, what things mean, and what to do are being unconsciously directed by the environment. And they remain in this unconscious state until one day the sound of the raging water wakes them up. And they discover that they're 5 feet from Niagara Falls in a boat with no oars. At this point they say, oh shoot. But by then it's too late. They're going to take a fall. And this, quote, fall may take the form of a financial setback, or maybe the failure of a relationship, or a health problem. But whatever it may be, understand this. It's likely that whatever challenges you have in your life presently, they could have been avoided by some better decisions upstream. Now, how do we turn things around if we're caught up in the momentum of a raging river? Either make a decision to put both oars in the water and start rowing like crazy in a new direction, or decide to plan ahead. Set a course for where you really want to go and have a plan or a map so that you can make quality decisions along the way. In Unlimited Power, I outlined a 4-step process for achieving success. By applying this process to the actions you take in response to a decision, you'll make the decision a true commitment that'll transform your life. The 4 steps are very simple. They are 1, clearly decide what you want. What is it that you're absolutely committed to achieving? 2, take action. Take massive action to make it happen. 3, notice what's working and what's not working. And finally, 4, when things aren't working, change your approach continually until it does work and you achieve what you truly want. I call these 4 steps the ultimate success formula. This formula is both a prescription for and a description of success. It's a prescription because by following it with truly committed decisions, you can achieve success in virtually any endeavor. And it's a description because it describes the path to success. You see, anyone can succeed on a large scale if they've taken these 4 steps. Like all companies, no matter how large, Honda Corporation began with one man making a decision and following his passionate desire until he produced the result. In 1938, while he was still in school, Mr. Honda took everything he owned and he invested it in a little workshop where he began to develop his concept of a special piston ring. He wanted to sell his work to Toyota Corporation, so he labored day and night, up to his elbows in grease, sleeping in his machine shop, always believing he could produce the result. In fact, he even pawned his wife's jewelry to stay in business. But when he finally completed the piston rings and he presented them to Toyota, he was told they didn't meet Toyota standards. He was sent back to school for 2 years, where he heard the incredible laughter of his instructors and fellow students as they talked about how absurd his designs were. But rather than focusing on the pain of the experience, he decided to continue to focus on his goal. Finally, after 2 more years, Toyota gave Mr. Honda the contract he dreamed of. His passion and his belief had paid off because he'd known what he wanted. He'd taken action. He'd noticed what was working and what wasn't working, and he kept changing his approach until he finally got what he wanted. But then a new problem arose. The Japanese government was gearing up for war, and they refused to give him the concrete that was necessary to build his factory. Did he quit here? Of course not. Did he focus on how unfair this was? No, that wouldn't have made it better. Did it mean to him that his dream had died? Absolutely not. Again, he decided to utilize the experience and develop another strategy. He and his team invented a process for creating their own concrete, and then they built their own factory. During the war, the factory was bombed twice. Even after all going through all of this, it destroyed major portions of his manufacturing facility. What was Honda's response? He immediately rallied his teams, brought them outside, and got them to pick up the extra gasoline cans that the U.S. fighters had discarded. He called them, quote, gifts from President Truman, because they provided him with the raw materials he needed for his manufacturing process, materials that were unavailable at that time in Japan. Finally, after surviving all this, an earthquake leveled his factory. I mean, Honda finally had to sell his piston operation to Toyota. Now, here's a man who clearly made strong decisions to succeed, just like we talk about. He had a passion and a belief in what he was doing. He had a great strategy. He took massive action. He kept changing his approach, but still, he'd not produced the results that he was committed to. Yet, you know what? Anyone else would have quit, but not Honda. He persevered. After the war, a tremendous gasoline shortage hit Japan, and Honda couldn't even drive his car to get food for his family. So finally, in desperation, he attached a small motor to his bicycle. He had a way to get around. Well, the next thing he knew, his neighbors were asking him if they'd make one of those, quote, motorized bikes, end quote, for them. One after another, he jumped on the bandwagon until he ran out of motors. He decided to build a plant that could manufacture motors for his new invention, but unfortunately, he didn't have enough capital. As before, he made the decision to find a way no matter what. His solution was to appeal to the 18,000 bicycle shop owners in Japan by writing them each a personal letter. He told them how they could play a role in revitalizing Japan through the mobility that his invention could provide, and he convinced 5,000 of them to advance the capital he needed. Still, his motorbike sold to only the most hardcore bicycle fans because it was too big and bulky, so he made one final adjustment. He created a much lighter, scaled-down version of his motorbike, which he christened the Super Cub, and it became a, quote, overnight success, earning him the Emperor's Award. Later, he began to export his motorbikes to the baby boomers of Europe and the United States, and then he followed up in the 70s with the cars that have now become so popular. Today, Honda Corporation employs more than 100,000 people, both in the United States and Japan, and it's considered one of the biggest car-making empires in Japan, outselling all but Toyota in the United States. It succeeds because one man understood the power of a truly committed decision that is acted upon, no matter what the conditions, on a continuous basis. So to sum it up, let me give you 6 quick keys to help you harness the power of decision, the power that shapes your experience of life every moment that you live it. First, remember the true power of making decisions. It's a tool, and you can use it in any moment to change your entire life. The minute you make a new decision, you set in motion a new cause-effect direction and destination for your life. Remember also that a real decision is measured by the fact that you've taken new action. If there's no new action, you haven't really decided. Second, realize the hardest step in achieving anything is making a true commitment, a true decision. Carrying out your commitments is often much easier than making the decision that leads to them. So make your decisions intelligently, but make them quickly. Don't labor forever over the decision of how or if you can do something. Just decide. Again, you know you've made a true decision when action flows from it. It becomes a cause set in motion. A critical rule that I've made for myself is to never leave the scene of a decision without first taking a specific action toward its realization. Third, make decisions often. The more decisions you make, the better you're going to get. Muscles get stronger with use, and so do your decision-making muscles. Unleash your power right now by making some decisions you've been putting off. You won't believe the energy and excitement it'll create in your life. And before you even go into your step 4, you may want to stop this tape right now and make a decision, one that can move you in a new direction. Here's step 4. Learn from your decisions. There are going to be times when you screw up, no matter what you do. And when that inevitable happens, instead of beating yourself into the ground, learn something. Ask yourself, what's good about this? Instead of focusing on the short-term setback, choose instead to learn the lessons that can save you time, money, or pain, and that'll give you the ability to succeed in the future. Step 5, stay committed to your decisions, but stay flexible in your approach. Now, that may sound like a paradox, but it's not. Once you've decided who you want to be as a person, for example, don't get stuck on the means to achieving it. It's the result you're after. Too often, in deciding what they want for their lives, people pick the best way they know at the time. But then they don't stay open to alternate routes. Don't become rigid in your approach. Cultivate the art of flexibility. 6th, enjoy making decisions. In any moment, a decision you make can change the course of your life forever. The very next person you stand behind in line or sit next to on an airplane. The very next phone call you make. The next movie you see or book you read or maybe even the tape you listen to. That could be the one, the single thing that causes the floodgates to open and all the things that you've been waiting for suddenly fall into place. Remember, a truly committed decision is the force that changes your life. Once you've absorbed that truth, when you decide that your life will ultimately be shaped by your decisions, then in that moment, your life will change forever. In that moment, you'll be empowered to take control of the force that shapes your life.
Reason guides but a small part of man, and that the least interesting. The rest obeys feeling, true or false, and passion, good or bad. Joseph Rue. Nature has placed mankind under the government of two sovereign masters, pain and pleasure. They govern us in all we do, in all we say, in all we think. Every effort we make to throw off our subjection will serve but to demonstrate and confirm it. Jeremy Bentham. The secret of success is learning how to use pain and pleasure instead of having pain and pleasure use you. If you do that, you're in control of your life. If you don't, life controls you. Anthony Robbins.
Human beings are not random creatures. Everything we do for a reason. We may not be aware of the reason consciously, but there is a driving force behind all human behavior. The force is simply this. Everything you and I do, we do either out of our need to avoid pain or out of our desire to gain pleasure. Now, I know that sounds like an oversimplification, but I'm here to tell you these twin powers of pain and pleasure, or what I call the triple P, the pain-pleasure principle, have controlled every decision you've made consciously or unconsciously throughout your entire life. The pain-pleasure principle is the force that drives your decisions about what to wear, where you go, how you get there, what to do for a living, who you're in a relationship with, whether you're fit or fat. It also prevents most people from taking the first step on the pathway of possibilities, the one that could enrich the quality of their lives immediately. For example, have you ever procrastinated? Of course you have. What is procrastination? It's what happens when you know you should do something, but you don't. Now, why don't you take that action? Simply because you link more pain to taking action than you do to putting it off. Procrastination means putting off the pain, and that's why you do it. But haven't you had a time in your life when you procrastinated so long that eventually one day it reversed on you, and you had to stop procrastinating in a moment? Maybe around April 14th, for example. What happened on that day? You simply changed what you linked pain to. All of a sudden, your brain began to link up that not taking action will be much more painful than just getting your taxes done. This doesn't happen only in the realm of taxes, though, does it? I mean, if you've been in a destructive relationship and finally made the decision to use your personal power and take action and change your life, it's probably because you hit a level of pain you weren't willing to settle for anymore. You finally decided that not only was this relationship painful today, but it had been painful in the past, and most importantly, you became certain it would be painful in the future. You see, when we link pain to the past, the present, and the future, we hit a threshold that can quickly propel us to take action and make immediate changes. The problem is that most of us decide what to do based on what's going to create pain or pleasure in the short term instead of the long term. Why is this a problem? Well, because in order to succeed, most of the things that we value most require us to be able to break through the wall of short-term pain in order to have the long-term pleasure in the first place. This is a critical point. Especially when you combine it with the fact that it's not actual pain that drives us, but really our fear that something will lead to pain. And it's not actual pleasure that drives us either, but our belief, our sense of certainty, that is, that somehow taking a certain action is going to lead to something that we really want, some real pleasurable emotion. In other words, we're not driven by reality, but by our perceptions of reality. Realize right now that the fear of pain wears many guises. It may look like fear of failure, or fear of success, or fear of the unknown, or fear that people will judge us. But no matter what you call it, you can always trace your behavior, and whether or not you take action, to the singular cause of what you link pain and pleasure to. If you're failing to take action in any area of your life, you can be assured there's one reason. You've learned to associate more pain to taking action than not taking action. And therefore, there's only one way to make a change. Change what you link pain and pleasure to. Otherwise, you can make a short-term change, but it's not going to last. You can put yourself on a diet, for example, and you can push yourself and discipline yourself, but as long as you link pain to eating the foods that'll support you, I'm here to tell you, you'll always be overweight. You must change what you associate in your gut. Willpower is not enough. Now, another term for these pain-pleasure linkages I use, I call neuroassociations. Simply, this means the associations that you and I establish within our nervous system that determines what we'll do. And the good news is this, we can learn to condition our minds, bodies, and emotions to link pain or pleasure to whatever we choose. That's the secret to changing your whole life, all your behaviors, all your actions, and your results. By changing what we link pain and pleasure to, we can instantly change our behavior. Let me offer you an example of how I did this with myself. In my own life, in spite of my parents' best efforts, there were times when my family didn't always have enough money even to buy the foods that we all wanted most. So when I became an adult and started earning a substantial income, I found myself overeating on a regular basis, especially those foods I always wanted. And eventually I achieved balance, but only after gaining and then having to lose 38 pounds. Recently I realized I linked pain to not eating everything on my plate. I mean, if it was on my plate, I had to eat it. I was compelled. And I realized I needed to change this disempowering association because recently I'd gotten larger plates and I was eating more and more food. I clearly needed to condition my mind and emotions to link pain to overeating and pleasure to the idea of eating lighter foods and smaller amounts. Most importantly, I needed to link pleasure to the first step to losing weight. And I want to reinforce that. Most of us give ourselves pain when we screw up, but we don't give ourselves pleasure when we want to move ahead. See, I began to link pleasure to pushing the plate away while there was still food on it. This went totally against my past conditioning. You know, you need to eat everything you've got while it's there. I was able to change this simply by conditioning myself. I began to push the plate away while I cranked up my favorite music, working myself into a peak state and feeling the sensations of pleasure as I pushed the plate away again and again. I repeated this process over and over until pretty soon it felt great to push away my plate and the food was still on it. You can't imagine what a freeing experience this was for me. So what's the first step to creating a change? The first step is simply becoming aware of the power that pain and pleasure, or neuroassociations, exert over every decision, therefore every action that we take. This awareness means understanding these linkages, the linkages between ideas and words and images and sounds and the sensations of pain and pleasure, they're happening constantly. Unless you and I take conscious control of this constant stream of linkages that our brains are making, then they're going to happen unconsciously, automatically. Your brain, with or without your conscious guidance, continually processes what your senses are perceiving, and it forms an intricate network of gut-level linkages between ideas, images, sounds, events, feelings, and your memory of what leads to pain and what leads to pleasure. Anytime you experience a significant amount of pain or pleasure, either emotionally or physically, your brain immediately searches for a cause. And once your brain discovers this cause-effect relationship, it links up that association in your nervous system so that in the future you won't have to experience the pain again. It becomes a warning signal that you're able to search for whenever you enter a situation like this. It also guides you in knowing what to do to get back into pleasurable emotional states and do it more quickly than if you didn't have the system. This is our most basic survival instinct at work. Now, problems can arise, though, when we make false connections. Envision a baby crawling along the edge of a couch. If he reaches the edge, is it possible that he'll continue to crawl until he falls? Absolutely. Why? Because the baby has no associations in his nervous system linking going over the edge to pain. And if the poor baby does fall, he may not link up the pain of falling with coming to the edge of the couch, at least not initially. He may simply decide that couches cause pain, so he may avoid couches altogether until he makes the proper distinction. The problem of making false connections, of course, is not limited to toddlers. Grown-ups do it too. I once knew a woman who was a very successful artist who hadn't had a relationship with a man for 12 years. Now, this woman had once been extremely passionate about everything she did, and it's what made her such a great artist. But you know what happened? Because she'd been so passionate in that relationship that bottomed out 12 years before, she asked herself what was the cause of the pain, and her brain linked up that her passion had destroyed the relationship. So she decided never get passionate in a relationship again. This is what we call a false neuroassociation. She had determined a false cause. The real culprit was that she and her partner had different values. They had different rules. Yet you can understand that because she linked pain to her passion, she started avoiding it unconsciously at all costs. But then she began to feel pain because she missed the passion. This is a perfect example of the strange ways in which we all sometimes wire ourselves, and you and I must understand these distinctions so we don't fall prey as well. The danger is that we often set up false neuroassociations that exert a negative control over our entire lives. If an inexperienced person makes his first attempt at speaking in public and he doesn't do very well, he may establish a neuroassociation that links public speaking with pain. Later, he'll use this same experience to back up the idea of never getting up before an audience again. False neuroassociations can be incredibly destructive then. That's why it's so critical to evaluate any associations we have in our mind and see, are they really true? Or did we link up a false cause? We've got to evaluate linkages before they become a part of our unconscious decision-making process. So often we blame the wrong cause and thereby close ourselves off from possible solutions. Nevertheless, the instinct to create neuroassociations, that is, to link pain and pleasure to things and to map it out in our brains, has been shaped by millions of years of evolution. Our nervous systems have been designed to guide our decision-making process by developing a set of signals to teach our brains what to approach and what to avoid, especially what to avoid, since that plays a bigger role in your survival. Now, I'm not suggesting that you and I are totally controlled by our environment, or that we are purely conditioned products of whatever we've been punished or rewarded for. Of course not. I'm not a believer in the behavioral hypothesis that says we are purely the result of our conditioning. But, and this is a big but, if we don't take control of that conditioning, I believe that these principles take over by default. The power that we have as human beings is such a unique gift in that we have the ability to override our experiences and consciously decide what will mean pain and what will mean pleasure. Anyone who succeeds in life has learned to override their conditioning. One decision that I made in my own life that's really shaped my destiny was that of linking incredible pleasure to learning. You see, I began to realize that learning how to shape human behavior and emotion could give me virtually everything I wanted in my life. I realized it could get me out of pain and into pleasure in a moment. That learning could unlock the secrets behind actions and therefore give me the key to producing results. And through that, I knew I could create a better life physically, that I'd be able to connect more deeply with the people I cared about, that I could get myself to take the kinds of actions that would make a difference in millions of people's lives and give me a sense of joy and fulfillment every day that I was alive. What are some of the experiences of pain and pleasure that have shaped your life? I mean, think about it for a moment. And I'm here to tell you that any part of your life that you want to change but haven't been able to, maybe a drug addiction, an alcohol addiction, challenges in relationships, challenges in business, no matter what the challenge may be, it can be traced directly and ultimately to your neuroassociations of pain and pleasure. If you've been unable to create change in your life, it's because you link too much pain to taking the very actions that could create the change. How can we take control of this process then and forge our own neuroassociations? Start by becoming aware of when they're formed and control your focus in those moments. Let's say, for example, you leave for home after a frustrating day at work. When you get home, your spouse greets you at the door and tries to cheer you up, but it doesn't work. Why? Because you're so angry. You're angry about what's happened at work and you're still steamed. You're seeing your spouse's face while you're in this angry state. Pretty soon, when you see their face, guess what you're going to feel? Angry. You have created an instant false neuroassociation. If you realize this, you can begin to interrupt this negative association before it takes hold. And the first step is to wake up and realize these associations are being made constantly. Remember, anytime you're in a peak state, whether it be positive or negative, be careful of what you focus on consistently while you're in that state, because whatever you notice while you're in that state will get linked neurologically. Next, begin to question your false neuroassociations. Winston Churchill once said, "Truth is incontrovertible. Malice may attack it. Ignorance may deride it. But in the end, there it is." Churchill was right. The truth will eventually emerge if you just continue to question the false associations that have limited your life in the past. You can analyze them to death if nothing else. Finally, assume the power to change what you link pain and pleasure to. Remember that the foremost power is awareness. Remember also that trying to change your behavior in the short term will only create short-term results. You must change the cause, and that always is what you associate pain and pleasure to in this situation, and that'll give you the power to change your behavior over the long term. You can immediately take control by changing your focus. If right now you're afraid to take some action, begin to focus on the possibility of the price you'll pay if you don't take action, and that'll change what you associate to that decision. So many people don't take action because they focus on how much pain they think they'd have if they took action. You must instead focus on the pain of inaction and on the pleasure of taking action now.
This is the end of Side 1. On Side 2, Anthony Robbins will examine belief systems, the source of your power to create and destroy. Then, he'll introduce you to the science of neuroassociative conditioning, a step-by-step strategy for creating real and lasting change in your life. And finally, he'll help you create your own magnificent obsession, your compelling vision of the future.
The belief that becomes truth for me is that which allows me the best use of my strength, the best means of putting my virtues into action. André Gide. It is the mind that maketh good of ill, that maketh rich of happy, rich or poor. Edmund Spencer. We are what we think. All that we are arises with our thoughts. With our thoughts, we make our world. The Buddha.
Beliefs are what make the difference between a lifetime of joyous contribution and one of misery and devastation. Beliefs are what separate a Mother Teresa from a Charles Manson. Beliefs are what cause some individuals to become heroes, while others lead lives of quiet desperation. See, the power of beliefs is virtually unlimited. Our beliefs can literally create or destroy. Beliefs are not merely matters of emotion or action. They can literally change our bodies in a matter of moments. I recently had the privilege of interviewing Yale professor and best-selling author Dr. Bernie Siegel. As we began to speak about the power of belief, Bernie shared with me some of the research he'd done on people with multiple personality disorders. Incredibly, the potency of these people's beliefs, the belief that they had become a different person, resulted in an unquestioned command to their nervous system that made measurable changes in their biochemistry. Their bodies would literally transform before the researcher's eyes in a moment's notice. Patients' eye color actually changed as their personalities changed, literally from brown to blue. Physical markings on their bodies disappeared and reappeared. Even diseases such as diabetes or high blood pressure would come and go depending on the person's belief as to which personality they were truly manifesting. So what exactly is a belief? This thing that's so powerful. Basically, it's simply a feeling of certainty about what something means. It's a feeling that's supported by what we call references, by life experiences that hold that belief up. Think of an idea as a tabletop with no legs. There's nothing to support it. It's not solid. It becomes a belief. The day you put legs underneath that tabletop, now it's supported, now it's solid, now you feel certain. If you have a belief, for example, that you're sexy, that belief is supported by the events in your life. Your mate tells you that you're a terrific lover, you look good in your jeans, you work out every day, you keep your body in great shape, and you drive a hot car. You can develop a belief about anything as long as you find enough, quote, legs, in other words, enough references to support it. If you see yourself as a failure, for example, as someone who doesn't have the luck or the connections or the willpower of those who succeed, then that belief will govern your actions and you'll most certainly mold exactly the life you predict for yourself. But if you honestly believe in your own capabilities, your capabilities to learn, to change, to adapt, to expand, to achieve personal breakthroughs, then your possibilities in life are literally unlimited. And you know what? You'll find references to back this up, to make yourself feel even more certain. And all personal breakthroughs, we must remember, begin with a change in our beliefs. How do we change our beliefs, though? The most effective way begins with understanding the pain-pleasure principle. Get your brain to associate enough massive pain to your old belief, and I promise you it'll change in a heartbeat. You've got to feel deep in your gut that not only has this belief cost you pain in the past, but it's costing you pain in the present, and ultimately, it can take away everything you desire from your future. Then you need to associate tremendous pleasure to the idea of adopting a new, empowering belief. Another important element in changing a disempowering belief is to create doubt. See, if you're really honest with yourself, aren't there some beliefs that you used to defend heart and soul years ago that today you'd almost be embarrassed to admit you even had? What happened to those beliefs? Something caused you to begin to doubt them. Maybe you had a new experience. Maybe something that ran counter to the experience that had propped up that old belief. Maybe, for example, you met some Russians and found out they were people just like you. They weren't part of some evil empire. Or maybe you discovered that if you relaxed and you really let yourself enjoy it, you really could look pretty good on the dance floor. In any case, something happened that planted a seed of doubt in your old limiting belief. Your mind began to re-examine or question your belief. And that's the key to beginning to break up your old limiting beliefs. If you question anything enough, eventually you'll begin to doubt it. This is a tremendously effective strategy for shedding disempowering beliefs. I mean, haven't you done this with yourself? Aren't there areas in your life where you've doubted yourself? How did you do it? You asked yourself lousy questions like, well, what if I screw up? What if I don't follow through? What if I forget what I'm supposed to do? And as you ask these questions, you begin to doubt yourself. Why not use this force for good and use it to destroy the limiting beliefs in your life? And as you question an old belief, begin to build up evidence to support your new beliefs. One that'll empower you. Give it legs. If you build up a belief enough, it'll become something even stronger. It becomes a conviction. A conviction now is a belief that is reinforced by even more powerful references. It's an irresistible force for change. For example, let's say you've decided never to eat meat again. To strengthen your resolve, talk to people who've chosen a vegetarian or vegan lifestyle. What reasons prompted them to change their diet? And what have been the consequences on their health and other areas of their life? What benefits have they received? In addition, begin to study the physiological impact that animal protein has upon our bodies. The more references you develop, the more emotional these references are, the stronger your conviction will become. It becomes a conviction if you decide to go to a slaughterhouse and watch what's being destroyed in front of your very eyes and what you're going to eat. I can promise you then it'll go from a belief that you shouldn't do this into a conviction that says, I couldn't consume this ever again. Third, find a triggering event that'll push you over the edge and make it a conviction. Or else create one of your own, just as I've described. For example, if you want to develop a conviction never to abuse drugs, make the painful consequences of drug abuse real to yourself. Watch some films, or better yet, visit a shelter and see firsthand how drug use devastates people's lives. If you vowed to give up smoking, visit the intensive care wing of a hospital and see the emphysema patients confined to oxygen tents, or look at an x-ray of a smoker's black lungs. These kinds of experiences have the power to push you over the edge and establish true conviction. Finally, take action. Each action you take strengthens your commitment and raises the level of your emotional intensity and conviction. So begin today to develop a habit of focusing on the consequences of your beliefs. This, more than anything else, began to change my life. Become conscious. Wake up to their impact. Are they strengthening your foundation by moving you to action in the direction you desire, or are they holding you back? Right now, take 5 minutes on a piece of paper and brainstorm every belief you can think of that empowers you. Write them all down. Then take an equal amount of time and write down all the disempowering beliefs that you can think of that have limited you in your past. Stop this tape right now and do this. Too often in life we listen to a tape or we read a book and we don't really use what we're reading. Please take a moment and do this now. Stop the tape now. Welcome back. Now, you did the exercise, didn't you? I'm assuming you really followed through. If you didn't, stop this tape now and go back and do this. This is my poor impression of Sam Kinison. I'm going to come get you unless you make a change. Back to our story. As you review your beliefs now, knowing you've done this, what have you learned? Now, circle three of the empowering beliefs, the most empowering beliefs on your list, and ask yourself a couple questions. How does this belief really empower me? How does it strengthen my life? Once you've done this, by being aware of these beliefs, I can promise you, you'll use them more. Now do the opposite. Go to the opposite list and circle the two most limiting beliefs you have. The two that hold you back the most, that keep you really from achieving what you want. Look at their consequences to your life. Feel the pain that comes from what they're cheating you out of. And decide once and for all that you're no longer willing to pay the price that they're charging you for your life. Knock the legs out from under them by asking yourself questions like, how is this belief ridiculous or absurd? And really take the time to answer it. Was the person I learned this belief from worth modeling in this area? Were they an expert? Were they producing results? Ask yourself, what will it ultimately cost me emotionally if I don't let go of this belief? What will it ultimately cost me in my relationships? What will it cost me physically or financially? What will it cost my family or my loved ones if I don't change this belief? Your goal is to get some leverage on yourself. In addition, these questions will begin the process of linking pain to your old beliefs. So concentrate on the aspects of your answers. Link these limiting beliefs to such intense pain that you'll want to rid yourselves of them forever. Then write down the replacements. What will you now believe instead that will empower you? If you're not getting the results you want in your life, I suggest that you ask yourself, what would I have to believe in order to succeed in this situation? Or who's already succeeding in this area? And what do they believe differently than I do that's probably helping them to succeed? Or what's necessary to believe in order to succeed in this situation? By asking these questions, you may very well discover the key belief that's really been eluding you. And if you're experiencing pain, if you feel challenged or frustrated or angry, you may want to ask yourself, what would I have to believe in order to feel the way I do right now? See, the miracle of this simple process is that it will help you to uncover the beliefs that you're not even aware of that you have and that are limiting you. For example, if you're feeling depressed and you ask yourself, what would I have to believe in order to feel depressed? You'll probably come up with something that relates to the future, like, I'm believing that things will never get better or that there's no hope. And when you hear these beliefs verbalized, you might well think, I don't believe that. I feel bad right now, but I know sooner or later it's going to get better. Things aren't going to be bad forever. This too shall pass. Or you may just decide that a belief about having problems permanently is totally destructive and one you're not willing to even consider again. And this will affect you not only now, but it'll affect all of your beliefs in the future as well. Beliefs have the awesome potential to create or to destroy. Your beliefs can give you the power to create massive, immediate, and empowering changes in your life, or they can smother any hope you have for a better future. I believe you picked up this tape because deep down inside, you decided you no longer want to settle for less than the best. You know you're capable of more. Are you ready now to harness the power to create the vision that you want? Then simply learn to choose the beliefs that empower you, to create convictions that drive you in the direction, the destiny that calls to the highest that's within you. There is absolutely no reason to settle for anything less.
Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Corinthians, chapter 15, verse 51. Give me a lever long enough and a prop strong enough, I can single-handedly move the world. Archimedes. There is nothing training cannot do. Nothing is above its reach. It can turn bad morals into good. It can destroy bad principles and recreate good ones. It can lift men to angelship. Mark Twain.
I got a question for you. How many psychiatrists does it take to change a light bulb? The answer is simple, only one. But it's very expensive, it takes a long time, and the light bulb has to want to change. This is just a joke, but it illustrates a myth in our culture that says change takes a long time, that it's a terrific struggle, and that it can be incredibly costly in many ways, emotionally, physically, financially. I'm here to tell you that's garbage. See, I'm here to tell you that you can change anything about your life instantly with the right technology, the right strategy. And I'm going to give you that strategy right now. But first, I want you to think about something. Every change you've ever made in your life actually happened in a moment, didn't it? What took time was getting yourself to a point where you finally did what was ever necessary to make it happen. Now, let me share with you my science of neuroassociative conditioning, or NAC as we call it for short. Sometimes we even call it NAC. NAC is a step-by-step process that can help you to condition your nervous system to associate massive pleasure with the things you want so that you continuously do whatever it takes to move towards them. And it also will show you how to link pain with those things that you need to avoid doing in order to really succeed consistently throughout your entire life. It'll also free you from having to constantly use effort and willpower because it will empower you to allow your unconscious mind to take over. So you're on automatic pilot because you've been conditioned to succeed. Remember, it's the feelings that we've been conditioned to associate in our nervous systems, again, our neuroassociations, that determine our real feelings and behavior. When we take control of our neuroassociations, we take control of our lives. With NAC, you can condition those neuroassociations so that you're empowered to take action and produce results consistently. NAC is designed to create consistent and lasting change. What are the two changes that everyone wants in their life? Isn't it true that we all want to change either how we feel about things or our behaviors? I mean, if you've been through a tragedy, you've lost a loved one, you've been raped, you're lacking self-esteem, you'll remain in pain until the sensations you link to yourself or to those events or to those situations are changed. That is until you change how you feel about them. See, if you overeat, if you drink too much, if you smoke or take drugs, then you have a set of behaviors that must change. The only way this can happen is by linking pain to those old behaviors and pleasure to the new ones. Well, there I go again. I've said it again. I know it sounds so simple, but what I've really found is that in order for us to be able to create true change, change that lasts, we need to develop a specific system for utilizing any kind of technique that we might learn to create change. And you know what? There are many. Every day I'm picking up new skills and new technologies from a variety of sciences, but I always come back to the same six fundamental steps that the science of NAC, neuroassociative conditioning, puts forth. I created NAC as a way to use any technology for change. Anything you've ever learned, you'll be able to apply within this system. So what NAC really provides is a specific syntax. That is an order and sequence of ways of using anything you've learned to create long-term, effective, and constant change. And by the way, the word syntax sometimes hooks people. Syntax can be used in the form of language. If I say to you, the dog bit Johnny, or Johnny bit the dog, I use the same exact tools, same words, but I change the order and sequence, or the syntax, and it's a very different experience, especially if you're Johnny. Now, to make syntax most effective, there are two shifts in beliefs that you may have to make within yourself. The first belief we must have if we're going to create change quickly is that we can change right now. Now, there is a challenge, and that is our cultural programming teaches us that changing significant problems quickly, that's impossible. That to change quickly means we never even have the problem at all. But in fact, it's not change itself that takes time. Remember, it's getting ready to change that takes time. The change itself occurs in an instant. Why not make that instant right now? See, it's up to you and I to get ourselves ready to change, and we can do it immediately. We don't have to wait. And the second belief that you and I must have if we're going to really create long-term change is that we're responsible for our own change, not anyone else. We've got to see ourselves as the source and the agent of change. If we don't, we'll always be looking for someone else to make the change for us, and we'll always have someone else to blame when it doesn't work out. Now, with these two beliefs in mind, I'm now going to give you the six master steps to change that are the basis of NAC, neuroassociative conditioning. These six steps will show you how to create a direct highway out of pain and into pleasure with no disempowering detours. I challenge you to choose something you really want to change in your life right now, so that as we go through these steps, you can take action and follow through with each of the steps. So you can really produce actions and results because you've listened to them. So let's begin. Here are the six master steps of NAC. Step one is simply this. Decide, what do you really want, and what's preventing you from having it now? See, when I do private counseling with people, I often ask people what they really want out of their life. Or they're telling me a problem, I ask them what they want instead. And an amazing number of these people will spend 15 minutes telling me what they don't want. See, remember, you get whatever you focus on in life. If you keep focusing on what you don't want, you'll just get more of it. Change that focus. Decide what you do want. The more specific you can be about it, the more clarity you'll have and the more power you'll command to achieve what you want more rapidly. At the same time, we need to learn what's preventing us from having what we do want. These are the disempowering beliefs we reviewed a few minutes ago. And again, I keep saying it again and again because I don't want you to forget it. Invariably, what's preventing us from making the changes is that we link more pain to making the change than staying where we are. If you're really going to change, then you've got to change these associations. You've got to knock the supports out from under these disempowering beliefs and use that list of doubt-creating questions I just gave you to be able to weaken them. Let's go to step two. Step two always is get leverage. Get leverage on yourself. Get yourself to associate massive pain to not changing now and massive pleasure with the experience of changing right now. See, change is not a question of capability. It's a question of motivation. If someone put a gun to your head and said, you better get out of that depressed state and start feeling happy now, I'll bet you could find a way to change your emotional state for the moment, couldn't you? But the problem for most of us, most of the time, is that change doesn't feel like it's a must. It feels like something we should do, something that we ought to do, we'd like to do someday, not something we absolutely must do right now without waiting another second. And that's the problem. See, the only way we're going to make a change now is if we create a sense of urgency that's so intense that we're compelled to follow through right now, in this moment. If we want to create change, then we have to realize that it's not a question of whether we can do it, it's a question of whether we will do it. See, whether we will do it comes down to a matter of motivation. Down once again to those twin pillars that shape our lives, pain and pleasure. To get true leverage, ask yourself pain-inducing questions. Questions like, what will this cost me if I don't change? What will I miss out in my life if I don't make this shift now? What's it already costing me mentally, emotionally, physically, and financially, and spiritually in my life? See, the key here is make the pain of not changing so real, so intense, that you can't put off taking action any longer. Then, start using pleasure-associating questions to help you link those positive feelings to the idea of changing so you really want it. Ask questions like, if I do change, how will that make me feel about myself? What kind of momentum could I create if I change this in my life right now? What other things could I accomplish if I really made this change today? How will my family and friends feel? How much happier will I be? See, the key is to get lots of reasons, or better yet, strong enough reasons, to change what you're doing right now immediately, not someday in the future. If you're not driven to make the change now, then you don't have enough leverage. It's that simple. And by the way, I hope right now as you're listening to me, you're doing this with a change you want to make. You can stop this tape at each step if you'd like. Have you decided what you really want to change? What do you really want in your life? Have you figured out what's been preventing you? And have you made it painful enough you must change and pleasurable enough that you must change because you want to? If so, then let's move on to the next step. Because now what you've done so far is you've linked pain in your nervous system to not changing and pleasure to making the change. So now you're ready for the third step. Step three is interrupt the limiting pattern. See, in order to get new results in our lives, it's not enough to just know what we want and get leverage on ourselves. You see, we can be highly motivated to change, but if we keep doing the same things, running the same inappropriate, disempowering patterns, our lives are not going to change, and all we're going to experience is more pain, more frustration. One of the best ways to interrupt your own pattern, or somebody else's for that matter, is to do something that a person doesn't expect, things that are radically different than they've experienced before, or do this to yourself. For example, when I did private therapy with people, people would come in to see me and they'd sit down in my office and they'd start to say, my problem is, and then they'd start to burst into tears out of control. I would suddenly stand up and shout, excuse me, and I would just jolt them. And I'd follow up with, we haven't started yet. Usually they responded with disbelief and they'd say, oh, I'm so sorry. And they'd immediately regain control, which proved that they already knew how to change the way they feel. Think of some of the ways that you can interrupt your own patterns. Do you need to do something differently? Some weird action? Would a word, some weird new word, break your pattern? Would a change of scenery, a silly laugh, a disgusting noise? Take a moment and think up some of the most enjoyable and disruptive ways you can interrupt your limiting and destructive patterns. Those patterns of being frustrated or worried or overwhelmed, for example. See, next time you start to feel depressed, jump up, look at the sky, and yell in your most idiotic tone of voice, hallelujah, my feet don't stink today. See, a stupid, silly move like this will definitely shift your attention, change your state, and it'll definitely change the states of anyone around you. They'll realize that you're no longer depressed, you're just crazy. Another way to break patterns is by scrambling the sensations that we link to our memories. For example, if your boss yells at you and you mentally rerun the experience the rest of the day, picturing him or her yelling at you over and over again, then you're going to feel progressively worse. So why let the experience continue to affect you? Try this. See that same situation in your mind that was bothering you so much. Picture it as if it was a movie. Don't feel upset about it. Just watch it one time, seeing everything that happened. Then take that movie and turn it into a cartoon. Sit up in your chair with a big silly grin on your face, breathe deeply, and run the image backwards as fast as you can so that everything happens in reverse. If the scene is your boss yelling, watch him swallow his words, for example. Then run through the cartoon forward again in fast motion. Change the colors of the images so everybody's face is rainbow-colored. Grow big Mickey Mouse ears on your boss's head and a big long Pinocchio nose. Do this at least a dozen times back and forth, sideways, scrambling the image in your mind. Create some goofy music to go along with it. The speed of this whole process is also real important. You want to create impact on yourself. A lot of crazy, intense humor that'll break your pattern of negative, disempowering emotions. Why don't you stop right now and try this? Again, close your eyes, see something that's bothering you, run it backwards as fast as you can. Change the images, change the colors, change the sounds. Now, if you do this back and forth several dozen times, or at least a dozen times, you'll discover that if you've done it effectively, you've easily broken the pattern so that now when you try and think of that situation, it's virtually impossible to get back those negative feelings. It's the equivalent of taking a record and taking a needle and scratching across it back and forth, back and forth. It'll never play the same way again. Now, this technique works with things that have been bothering you for years. It sounds so ridiculous, but test it and you'll see it does, in fact, produce results. It's often a much more effective approach than trying to analyze the whys and the wherefores of a situation. Because after all, that doesn't change the sensations that you link about something in your body. The reason the scrambling technique works is that all of our feelings are based on the images that we focus on in our minds and the sensations we link to those images and sounds. As we change the images, we change how we feel. Conditioning this again and again makes it increasingly difficult to get back into that old pattern. Now, once you've broken that pattern that's been holding you back, you'll have the open space for the next step. Step 4, create a new empowering alternative. This fourth step is absolutely critical to establishing a long-term change, not a short-term change. In fact, the failure by most people to find an alternative way of getting out of pain and into the feelings of pleasure is probably the major reason why most people's changes are only temporary. Many people get to the point where they have to change, where change is a must, because they link so much pain to the old pattern, they link so much pleasure to the idea of changing. They even interrupt their old pattern. But after that, they have nothing to replace the old pattern. Remember, all of your neurological patterns are designed to help you to get out of pain and into pleasure. So once you quit smoking, for example, you need to come up with a new way, preferably a lot of new ways, to relax or to manage your stress or to provide whatever benefits you used to get when you smoked. See, if your old behavior was excessive worry, what new behavior can you replace it with? How about massive action and a plan you have for meeting your ultimate goals? Or maybe you can replace depression with a focus on how to help others who are in need. And this may help you. If you're not sure how to get yourself out of pain and to feel pleasure as the replacement for your old smoking, drinking, worrying, or whatever undesirable emotion or behavior was, you can find the answer by modeling people who've turned things around for themselves. Find people who've made lasting changes. I guarantee you'll find out that they had alternatives to replace their old behavior. These first four steps create real change. But for how long? What if you stop smoking for a year or even two, but then you find yourself taking up cigarettes again? What if you lose 40, 80, or 100 pounds, but then gain it all back again? To prevent backsliding, to be sure that change is lasting change, you need to take the next step in neuroassociative conditioning. Step 5, condition the new pattern until it's consistent. See, conditioning is the way to make sure that a change you create lasts long term. The simplest way to condition something is just to rehearse it. Imagine yourself doing your new empowering behavior repeatedly until you can clearly see that it will get you out of pain and into pleasure quickly, and until it feels good to you. This is critical, because if you don't do this, you'll probably go back to your old pattern. You've got to rehearse your new alternative again and again with tremendous emotional intensity. Your brain will then literally carve out a new pathway, and with conditioned repetition, that pathway will become a highway to this new way of achieving results. You and I can't overestimate the power of conditioning. I read recently that Larry Bird was doing a soft drink commercial in which he was supposed to miss a jump shot, and he made 9 baskets in a row before he could get himself to miss. That's how strongly he's conditioned himself over the years. When the ball hits his hands, he automatically goes through a pattern that's designed to put it through the hoop. And here's a critical distinction. Don't just condition yourself initially. Set yourself up with a schedule to reinforce your new behavior. What can you give yourself, for example, for succeeding? Don't wait until you've gone a month or a year without smoking. When you've gone a day, give yourself a reward. Link pleasure to this new behavior so it stays reinforced and it becomes consistent. Don't wait until you've lost 80 pounds. Don't even wait until you've lost a pound. The minute you push the plate away with food still on it, give yourself a pat on the back. Do something that'll make yourself feel good for this action. See, the key here is to set up a series of short-term goals or milestones, and as you reach each one, immediately reward yourself. Don't wait. Make these rewards immediate. It's very important to link the sensations of pleasure with a pattern that you want and that's occurring currently. Remember that you're not making an intellectual connection. You're making an emotional one, a neurological one. You want to give your brain new associations on a very basic instinctual level. You want your nervous system to link great pleasure to this new change. Once you've accomplished these 5 steps, you've created a new pattern. The final step is to make sure it works. Step 6, test the new pattern for ecology and effectiveness. Your new pattern, this new approach to creating change, will need to fit into a variety of environments. The question you got to start to ask yourself is, does it really work in your business relationships? If you make this change, will that negatively affect your business or will it continue to be strong? How does it affect your personal life? Does it really accomplish what you wanted originally when you were looking to make the change? Remember that as destructive as they may have been, your old behaviors were providing you with some sort of positive impact. Otherwise, you wouldn't have been doing them. You see, your new behavior has to preserve those benefits and maybe even improve on them. Maybe the benefit was the ability to get pleasure, or the ability to produce a result, or the ability to communicate your needs, or to know that people really cared about you. And now you need to make certain your new pattern achieves these same goals, but does so in a more empowering way than crying or feeling sorry for yourself or being depressed, for example. So first, make sure that your new behavior fits into your core beliefs and values. Make sure it's in alignment with who you believe you are. Second, test to make sure these new strategies are firmly installed and working in concert. Run what I call an ecology check on your pattern. You can do it with five simple questions. One, make certain that pain is fully associated with the old pattern. Ask yourself, when I think of the old behavior I used to do or the old feelings I used to indulge in, do I picture and feel things that are painful now instead of pleasurable? Do I see that as something that's unacceptable? If so, you're on the right first track. Two, notice and make certain that you've linked pleasure to the new pattern. Ask yourself, when I think about my new behavior or these new feelings that I focus on, do I picture and feel things that are pleasurable to me now instead of painful? Then step three of your ecology checks, make sure that you have aligned the new pattern with your values, beliefs, and rules. Ask yourself, is this new behavior or this new feeling that I'm going to consistently use, is it consistent with my values? Is it consistent with my beliefs about how I need to be as a person? Checkpoint four, make sure the benefits of the old pattern have been maintained. Again, ask yourself, will this new behavior or this new feeling that I'm using still allow me to get the original benefits, the original pleasure that I got from my old pattern? And finally, checkpoint five, make sure that the change will be long-term and that your conditioning has been effective. Imagine the thing that would have triggered you to adopt the old pattern, to feel bad, to overreact, or to smoke or drink or whatever. And notice now, do you feel certain that you'll use the new pattern instead of the old one? If you do, your ecology check is complete, and you can be certain the pattern will support you from now on.
You've now learned techniques for making decisions that will shape your life, for taking control of the belief structure that determines how you feel and act, and for creating real and lasting change. Now, Anthony Robbins will take you on the final leg of this journey. The creation of your future, your magnificent obsession.
Nothing happens unless first a dream. Carl Sandburg. We are what and where we are because we have first imagined it. Donald Curtis. There is nothing like a dream to create the future. Utopia today, flesh and blood tomorrow. Victor Hugo.
Are you ready now to have some fun? Are you willing to be like a kid again and let your imagination run wild? Are you committed to grabbing hold of your life and squeezing from it all the power, passion, and juice you know can be yours? Many people in life know what they should do, but they never do it. The reason is that they're lacking the drive that only a compelling future can provide. This is your opportunity now to let go and dream at the highest level, to brainstorm something that will really push your life to the next level. What we're going to do now is we're going to help you to create the energy and momentum that causes you to want to take action consistently. Often people tell me, well, my problem is that I really don't have any goals. This belief demonstrates their lack of understanding of how goals really work. The human mind is always pursuing something, if nothing more than the ability to reduce or eliminate pain or avoid anything that would lead to it. Our brains also love to guide us in pursuing anything that can lead to pleasure. So we all have goals. The problem, as I've said before in this program, is that we're unconscious in the use of our resources. Most people's goals are to, quote, pay the lousy bills, or to get by, or to survive, or get out of debt, or make it through the day, make the relationship a little better, get a better job. In short, they're caught up in the trap of making a living rather than designing a life. Remember that our goals affect us, whatever they are. If we don't consciously plant the seeds of what we want in the gardens of our minds, we'll end up with weeds. If we want to discover the unlimited possibilities within us, we must find a goal big enough and grand enough to challenge us to push beyond our limits and discover our true potential. Remember that your current conditions do not reflect your ultimate potential, but rather the size and the quality of the goals upon which you're currently focusing. We all must discover or create a magnificent obsession. You might be thinking right now, well, this is all sounds so inspirational, but surely setting a goal doesn't make it happen. You know what? I couldn't agree with you more. All goal setting must immediately be followed by the development of a plan and with massive and consistent action towards its fulfillment. You already have this power to act. If you haven't been able to summon it, at least up until now, it's merely because you failed to set goals that inspire you. What's holding you back? Do you have a list of clearly defined goals for the results that you will absolutely produce in your life, mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, and financially? If not, what stopped you? What has stopped some people is the unconscious fear of disappointment. Is that true for you? See, a lot of people have set goals in the past and they failed to achieve them, so they stop setting goals to avoid the pain. Many people give up too soon on their goals because they're not getting the immediate positive feedback they think they need. One of the consistent skills I've seen in champions, people who really achieve their highest desires, is this unbelievable level of persistence. They'll change their approach as many times as necessary, but they won't abandon their ultimate vision. What we're going to do now is take the first step in turning the invisible into the visible, making your dreams a reality. By the time we're finished, you'll have created for yourself an anticipation so great, a future so compelling, that you can't help but take the first steps today. We'll be covering four areas. One, personal development goals. Two, our career, business, and economic goals. Three, our adventure goals. I like to call some of these our toy goals. And four, our contribution goals. For each of these areas, you'll be doing brainstorming for a set period of time where you'll be writing down everything you can think of. Remember to keep the ideas flowing, keep your pen moving, and don't censor yourself. Let everything, every fantasy come out. Constantly ask yourself, what would I want for my life if I knew I could have it any way I wanted it? What would I go for if I knew I could not fail? And then don't worry about how you're going to accomplish these goals. Do this without questioning or doubting your capabilities. You first have to get the inspiration out, then you find out how to make it work. Finally, don't waste any time getting overly specific. You don't need to put down, I want a split-level house on Nob Hill in San Francisco with all-white contemporary furniture and a Victorian rose garden. Just write something down like dream house, big garden, SF. You can fill in the details later. Okay, right now, get some paper and put yourself in a state of mind of absolute faith and total expectation. The expectation that you can create anything you want. Again, imagine you're a kid and it's Christmas Eve. The whole world, anything you can imagine, is yours for the asking. Be a kid again. Give yourself that freedom to explore the possibilities of life without limits. Start with your personal goals. Write down everything you'd like to achieve in your life that relates to your own personal growth. Things that you'd like to learn, limitations you want to overcome, ways you'd like to improve your body, your spirituality, your relationship goals. These can be short-term or long-term, things you want to do this week or 20 years from now. Write these down for a minimum of 5 minutes and don't stop writing at any time. Stop the tape right now and do this. Please don't just listen. Your life will not change by listening. Your life changes by action. That's the essence of personal power. Take the time now and I'll be here when you turn the tape back on. Welcome back. Now that you've done this for at least 5 minutes, take another minute right now and go back and give yourself a timeline for each and every goal. Now again, don't even think about how you're going to do it or how you're going to achieve or create the goal. Just write down when you want to achieve it by or within. Remember, goals are dreams with a deadline. The simple act of deciding when you'll achieve a goal by sets in motion conscious and even unconscious forces to make your goals a reality. So if you're committed to accomplishing a goal within 1 year or less, just write a 1 next to it. If you want to get it done within 3 years, put a 3. If it's 5 years, a 5, 10, a 10, or within 20 years, write a 20. Take a moment and do this now. Finally, choose your single most important 1 year goal in this category, a goal that would give you tremendous excitement if you were to accomplish it in this year. Pick something that will inspire you, get you up early and keep you up late, and give your life more juice. Something will make you feel like if you accomplished this goal in this year, your life was well invested. Take 2 minutes now to write a paragraph about why you're absolutely committed to achieving this goal within 1 year. Why is this compelling to you? What will you gain by achieving it? What will you miss out on if you don't achieve it? And make sure you notice that these reasons are strong enough to make you actually follow through consistently. If not, either come up with a better goal or some better reasons. Take the time to do this now. Now that you've finished this three-stage action on your personal development goals, let's go on to the next category, your career, your business, and economic goals. On a new sheet of paper, spend at least 5 minutes writing nonstop about all the things you want to achieve in these areas. How much money do you want to make in a year or in your lifetime? What career goals do you have? What are your investment goals? What are your money management goals? How much do you want to be able to spend on travel and adventure, on your kids' education, on your own toys? What professional breakthroughs would you like to make? What kind of impact do you really want to have? Then take a minute to give a timeline to every goal, just as you did before. Now the third category of your goals, your toys and adventure goals. Once again, on a new sheet of paper, spend at least 5 minutes brainstorming about what you'd like to build or create or purchase. What would be sheer fun and enjoyment for you? Would you like to own a castle, a beach house, a helicopter, a music studio, an art collection, a private zoo, a treehouse? Write down places you'd like to go, events you'd like to attend, things you'd like to do, star in a Broadway play, race camels between the pyramids, go one-on-one with Michael Jordan and beat him, sail a yacht around the Greek islands, meditate in a Buddhist monastery, scuba dive in Fiji. Again, let your imagination go free. Give yourself whatever you want in this list. Don't make anything wrong. Then follow up steps 2 and 3. Take 1 minute and put a timeline on each one of these goals, a timeline in which you'll achieve it within, and then pick the number 1 1-year goal and write a paragraph giving all the compelling, irresistible reasons why you want to achieve this goal within a year. Finally, create your contribution goals. They can be the most inspiring, compelling goals of all, because this is really your opportunity to leave your mark, to create a legacy that makes a true difference in people's lives. Take at least 5 minutes to brainstorm how you want to contribute. Maybe you want to help build a shelter for the homeless, or adopt a child, or read to the blind, or volunteer for the Peace Corps. Help clean up the oceans, eliminate discrimination, develop a car that runs on garbage, or make a device that finds lost contact lenses. I don't know, but come up with something that would inspire you in the area of contribution. And as before, give each goal a timeline, then select your top 1-year goal and write a paragraph in 2 minutes explaining why you are absolutely committed to achieving this goal within the next year. So now that you've completed this, you should have 4 master 1-year goals that absolutely excite and inspire you. They should be based on sound, compelling reasons that will drive you forward. How would you feel if you'd mastered and attained all 4 of these within 1 year? See, I can't stress enough the importance of developing strong enough reasons to achieve these goals. Having a powerful and irresistible why will provide you with the necessary how. And now here is an assignment that can help you to condition these goals until they're absolutely real and compelling and consistently drive you for the whole year. From now on, this is your assignment. At least twice a day, you must rehearse and emotionally enjoy the experience of achieving each one of your most highly valued goals. Now, every time you do this, you need to create more emotional joy as you see, feel, and hear yourself living your dream. This continuous focus will literally create a neural pathway between where you are and where you want to go. Because of this intense conditioning, you'll find yourself feeling a sense of absolute certainty that you'll achieve your desires. And this certainly will translate into a quality of action that ensures your success. I can tell you, I did this with my life. Years ago, when I had no future, no way to turn things around, I set such huge, impossible goals, but I rehearsed them in such detail that I now live them. The home that I now live in, the Del Mar Castle, literally a castle built in 1925, 10,000 square feet overlooking the ocean. I was living in a 400 square foot bachelor apartment. A year later, I lived, and a year and a half after that, I owned that castle. There was no way I could have done it. But I conditioned myself so vividly. I mean, to the point where I even pictured my office in my home. It was a circular office overlooking the ocean. I'd never seen this castle. It was another part of the country. I want you to know this works. That your absolute confidence in these goals will attract the appropriate coaches and role models, people who can guide you into taking the most effective actions to produce the results you want more quickly. And instead of doing it by the traditional trial and error method, they can help you save time, sometimes decades or more. So don't wait another day. Start this process. Start today. Start right now. Well, at the beginning of this program, I issued a challenge to you. I challenge you to take the skills that you've now learned and use them. I'm repeating that challenge to you now. You've heard my words and you've taken the time to participate in this project with me. Now it's up to you to make it real. Ideas, techniques, skills, these things are only as effective as you make them. And how effective can you really make them? The answer is there are no limits. You can literally change your world if you really are committed to do so. This is your time, your moment, your opportunity to claim your life and make it as you envision it. To make your own dreams come true, your own adventure, your own shining accomplishment real, I challenge you to awaken that giant within you and discover how rich, how truly precious and passionate and fulfilling life can be. I hope someday I have the opportunity to meet you personally and you'll share with me the story of your life's success. Till then, remember to live with passion.
You've been listening to Awaken the Giant Within with Anthony Robbins. Awaken the Giant Within was written by Anthony Robbins and adapted for audio by Jesse Boggs. The recording engineer was Barnaby Bristol. The tape editor was Ted Bonnet. Post-production by Paul Fowley. Production assistance by Beth Silverstein. Quotations were read by Stephanie Rich. Awaken the Giant Within was produced and directed by Linda Ross.